Thank you, Dan. Example of false prophet in the Old Testament. We could have chosen several passages for that, but that was pretty dramatic, wasn't it? What happens when, the children are dismissed for children's church. All right. They kind of know what I'm going to say. Sometimes better than I do. Well, let's pray as we start. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you that we can gather together, that we have the privilege, the right, the time, the health to gather together and study your word. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless each one of us today as we read this passage. We think about how much you love us and care for us to tell us these things. And when we leave here, we put these things into practice because we understand what you said. Lord, bless us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 6. I'll be reading from the NIV version of the Bible. And what we've been doing is studying through the epistle of 1 John. And we're doing this according to Greek paragraphs. It may not match your English paragraphs, but try to stick with what the Greek says as best as I can. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Well, I think this passage deals with having spiritual discernment. Having spiritual discernment as we walk in the light. And, in today's world, there are a lot of lying preachers. It's kind of shocking, isn't it? A lot of false teachers, a lot of false prophets that talk these days. You ever have an experience with a false prophet or a false teacher? One time I bought this really good book, and I was about ready to read it, and it was supposed to be all about how I was supposed to live my private life. You're organizing your private life before God. And before I opened the first page, it came out that the writer had been having an affair for the last 7 years. I thought, oh, this guy was going to tell me how I was supposed to live my life with God. It was a false prophet, and God protected me from reading what this man said. So they're out there. Some of them write books. Some of them preach. Some of them do a lot of ways to communicate with people, but not everyone is good. We have to know that everyone who talks about God doesn't necessarily come from God. So having discernment and knowing who does and who doesn't is a key thing for Christians to know and to do. In the last verse of chapter 3, that's verse 24, John introduces the spirit world. I'll read it for you. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So John introduces the spirit world. And then John, being aware that there is both evil and good spirits in this world, at work in this world, that are behind the ministries of those who speak about God, encourages caution in our attitude towards the spirits. And in verse 1, he gives us two present continuing commands. This is not just a one-time command, but this is something to do always. He says in verse 1, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, the two commands are important to catch. First of all, do not believe every spirit. It's literally there, believe not. Stop believing. It's almost like they were already into this process of believing these false teachers. Stop believing everything you hear, is the way we might say it today, or stop being gullible to these kinds of things. And secondly, he tells us to test the spirits. And the idea here is to make a practice of testing them, of trying them, of examining them, carefully weighing and examining, testing what they say. And then he also gives us the reason for doing this at the end of verse 4. He says, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There's not just a few of them out there. There's a lot of them. And it's kind of like they're on every corner. They're a dime a dozen. If you want to find a false prophet, they're easy to find. Well, as we look through the remaining verses in this section, verses 2 through 6, I thought it might be practical to come up with three questions for spiritual discernment as we walk in the light. What are the things when you hear somebody that speaks and, you know, that bell goes off in your head, ding, 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 you know, there's something here that doesn't quite set right with me. What are the questions that we can ask so that we avoid these false teachers that are out there? Well, the first one is pretty clear to us. It states it directly in verses 2 and 3. Has Jesus Christ come in the flesh? That's the one thing we should ask them right away. Has Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Look at verses 2 and 3. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. So we shouldn't back away from what we know the Bible says about our Savior, Jesus Christ. It should be in our mind all the time. Who is Jesus? Is he only a good man? Is he only a good example? Is he only a wonderful teacher? Is he a revolutionary? Does this teacher that we're listening to continually confess the same thing as the Bible says about Jesus Christ and profess allegiance to this wholeheartedly? They put their faith in the true Jesus Christ, that he came in the flesh, that he was born of a virgin, he lived a sinless life, he paid the price for our sins on the cross, and he rose from the dead. Those who deny those things prove that they are from the evil one and are false teachers. One time we had a dog, and he was a Belgian shepherd. Does everybody know what a Belgian shepherd is? It's kind of like a German Shepherd, only it's a little bit smaller. And the police actually use them in the United States now because they're very trainable. And ours was a long-haired Belgian Shepherd. And he was a good dog, a good watchdog. We needed a good watchdog because people were constantly breaking in our house and taking our stuff. And we like our stuff. And when they started doing it at night, you know, we had to do something. Otherwise, you know, we wouldn't wake up maybe some morning. So we got this big dog, and we put him in the backyard. It was like, a backyard was like 25 feet long, maybe 40 feet long, and 25 feet wide. And he was just nervous. He would run back and forth and just bark all the time. And so he was like a watchdog on steroids for us. And all of our neighbors, you know, knew our dog was back there. But there are certain things that he just hated. He hated drunk men. You know, the kind that are, you could smell the alcohol on them. And, you know, one time I was on a walk with him, and I was trying to, you know, walk down the street, and this drunk guy came up and confronted me. And it was all that I could do to keep our dog, you know, from tearing this guy to bits. I never realized a dog was that strong, but he was just totally outraged with this guy. I guess he felt that I was in danger and he was protecting me. Another thing that we noticed, you know, he didn't like drunk guys. He also didn't like cats. And the cats in the neighborhood knew that too. So we had an 8-foot wall, wooden wall around our backyard. And the cats would walk on top of that because they liked to see him bark. And he would jump up 8 feet high and try to grab those cats by the tail and bring them down. I don't think he ever got one. But, you know, the moment he heard a sound or saw a movement in his domain, in his domicile, his ears, his pointy ears would pop up. And his eyes would fix on the source. And if there was a threat, he would leap into action and to defend his territory. You know, we as Christians should be equally equipped to discern truth and error and to be ready to defend the faith from false teachers, especially in the relation to Jesus Christ. True teachers say that Jesus came in the flesh. The rest are controlled by the Antichrist. So that's the first question that this passage tells us we should be asking when we hear a teacher that we're really unsure about. Has Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Is this guy teaching, continually teaching? Is he totally devoted to this, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? That's the first question. That's an easy one because it's right there written for us. The second question we have to dig a little bit for, but I think I can explain what it should be. Look at verses 4 and 5. The second question I'm saying is, are you born again? You know, we hear a teacher, we should be asking the question, are you born again? And we kind of just kind of expect that a person who reads the Bible will be born again. But they're not all. And we should be asking this question. Look at verses 4 and 5. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. Throughout verses 4, 5, and 6, the pronouns are very emphatic. They put stress on what they're trying to say. There's three different groups that are talked about in verses 4, 5, and 6. The first one refers to you. Second person plural, referring to the readers, those who are reading this book. And they're referred to as dear friends in verse 1. And then also as dear children later on in verse 4. They're readers. These readers are from God. They're they've been born again. You can't translate that word born again in John chapter 3 as, you know, being born from above. And that's what it means to know Christ as our Savior, to be born again. They have overcome these false teachers. And Christ is in, the pronoun there is you. Christ is in you. They have a living relationship with Jesus. So that's the readers. That's one group. And then the second group are they or them, third person plural, false teachers. These guys, even though they look like it and sometimes sound like it, they're not from God, like the Antichrist will be. He'll be a great imitator as he comes and he'll fool a lot of people. They are in the world's system. They are controlled by the eyes and the heart of the world. And sometimes, or somehow, they are able to grasp or get attention of the world and appeal to the emotions of the world. They speak from the viewpoint of the world. The world likes them and listens to them. The world swallows what they teach without question. And so they would be unregenerate. False teachers can be noticed by the way unsaved people respond to them. They don't make decisions for Jesus, but they kind of worship these people. So a basic question when you're hearing this, these type of teachers, is a good one for discernment. Is this person born again? Does he have Jesus Christ living in his heart? Otherwise, if he doesn't have that, he's not going to understand the scriptures. And when you talk to them, you ask them if they're born again, they should be able to tell you a place it happened where they received Jesus, a time it happened, a situation that they were going through in life, the actual verses that God used to express this to them, and to make them make a decision in order for us to decide, is this person born again or isn't? But those things are good signs that God has done a work in them if they can actually tell you the date, place, time, and reason for it occurring. You know, earlier in chapter 3, the epistle, John used Cain and Abel as an illustration. It's in chapter 3. Let's see. Verse 12. Good, thanks. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. So John says that Cain was not righteous and not God's child. Notice he didn't say that Cain wasn't religious. Cain also brought an offering. You know, it's probably more attractive even than Abel's offering because it was from the field. Beautiful things grew out in our fields, don't they? It looked good. And Abel's was probably bloody. And most people look at it and say, ew, you know, that is sickening. You know, blood sacrifice. However, Abel's offering is the one that God accepted because it recognized the sin of man and his need for a Savior. Cain did not recognize that at all. Abel did. We have to make sure that teachers that we're listening to or books that we're reading from people, these authors are born again, that they're from God, that they're overcomers that are described in this passage. So the first two questions that we've seen so far is, has Jesus Christ come in the flesh? It's right there in the verse. Second one, we had to dig a little bit, didn't we? Are they born again? Just like the readers were in this passage, and the false prophets were not. And the third question we should be asking is, what is your attitude about the Word of God? What is their attitude about the Bible, the Word of God? They believe that it's true. They believe it's inspired. You know, all those things that we accept. Look at verse 6. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So this verse completes the pronoun series that we have. We and us, first person, plural, referring to the apostles. True believers teach the word of God. True believers depend upon the word of God. It is their bread from heaven every day that they eat and they consume and they follow. And God uses that to fill their heart and fill their tank so that they can go on and be used by him. They here refers to the apostles. And what we have in the Bible is what the apostles taught. So when he says here, he listens to us, this guy has to listen to us, the apostles. You have to listen to what God told the apostles. That's the prophecy we should be following today. We recognize the spirit of truth from the spirit of falsehood. Those that love God will listen to the prophecy that God gave to the apostles, and it's recorded for us in the scriptures. Those that don't know God will not accept this prophecy. They'll turn away from it. Do you know people like that? I know a lot of people like that, that won't accept what the Bible says. Jesus put it like this: my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's John chapter 10, verse 27. You know, sometimes people think of the Bible as kind of like a Geiger counter. Maybe it's kind of dated, but you know what a Geiger counter is? It was like a machine that they used when they first came out with atomic energy to measure if something was radioactive or not radioactive. So it kind of like click, 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 and click, 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 click. You got really close to something that was radioactive. Well, the Bible is a little bit like that. The Geiger counter measures the amount of uranium in the soil, and it starts clicking if it sees something there that's reacting. It tells you when you found something, when you found some uranium. And you know, as a teacher uses the Bible, those that belong to God will do what to it? They'll respond. They'll respond to the Bible. God's people are going to hear a teacher who is using this book and respond to it. Those that are not God's people will hear the same words, but won't respond to it. The Geiger counter won't click. It won't click because they're not responding to it. Attitude towards the Word of God, accepting the Word of God as from God, is the third test, the third question we should be asking when we hear people, teachers, who claim to be from God. It's kind of like the story that Dan read for it, isn't it? You know, there are several passages like this in the Old Testament talk about the wars between true prophets and false prophets. All the people wanted to hear that, the Babylonians were going to be gone and everything's going to be peace and everybody's going to come back. But that's not what God said was going to happen. So the faithful prophet spoke what God told him to say to the people, even though it was difficult. And the unfaithful prophet told them whatever he wanted to tell them, told them things that would make them feel good. Well, having spiritual discernment while walking in the light is the theme of this these verses. Just a couple questions as we close today. You know, during this time when we have a lot of spare time, I know people have been listening to a lot of different preachers, a lot of different pastors out there. Some of them are good. Some of them are not good. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? First question. Second question is, are those people you're listening to teaching the truth? You know, and they are they contradicting what the Bible says? Hopefully not. Hopefully you had enough discernment not to listen to those guys who just, you know, are pretty good at presenting, making a presentation, but they're not really teaching the Bible. So are these people teaching the truth that we're listening to? And thirdly, are we using discernment concerning all this teaching that we receive? Are we listening to that little click in our heads that said, oh, I never heard that before. I got to check that out. I got to make sure that that's according to the scriptures, just like the Berean Christians did in Acts chapter 17. Even when the apostle Paul came, they would go home and get their Bible out to see if what the apostle Paul said was true. May we be like that as we hear things from good teachers and from false teachers who examine the scriptures to see if these things are true. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the word of God that helps us, protects us, and also feeds us in this life. We look forward, Jesus, to your return. We hope it'll be soon. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.